Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, opens at Interlochen Center for the Arts on May 11th. And I'm here with a particularly big fan of the show and very special guest, Judy Rummelhart. Hi, Judy.
Hi there.
Now, Judy, you have a special reason for being a big fan of Sweeney Todd. What is that?
Well, maybe 30 years ago, the show's almost set. It's past 30 years. At any rate, I was involved in the original production on Broadway as an associate producer. And it was a wonderful experience for me. One of the most frightening experiences, I think, because I had no idea what to expect. Other than the fact that I thought that Angela Lansbury was the most wonderful person in the world and one of the great, incredibly generous actresses. And I had met Len Carreyrou many times, and I thought he was really wonderful, too. And I had spent a lot of time with the writers and the composer and people as we worked on the project. But it originally started to be, the plan was to take this Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, when I got involved, and it would be a play with music. And that was the plan. And so the story goes on for a long time.
Until it eventually became the Sweeney Todd that we know today.
Yes, that we admire.
Now, I have to tell you, it is one of my favorite shows, and it's yours too. What's wrong with us?
Well,
why do we love this show so much?
Do you think we're kind of weird? No, actually, I'm just having seen a Stalin movie, it makes you laugh instead of being terrified. There's something wonderful about the pretense. It's like Frankenstein or any of those that we all get fascinated by the creature, the person, the strange person in the group. And I can't help but just think how clever it is that you can do that and find humor in the blood and the gore of what they're actually doing on stage. But it isn't bloody and gory. So there's something, I guess you'd say that's the farce, the comedy that is a part of the telling of the story that your curiosity can't wait to get to the next page or the next act or the next song or the next whatever.
And I think that happens right away with the very first piece of music in the show.
Truly, truly, it does. Blam! You get it. The show starts with this group of people that appear out of nowhere. You know, somebody crawls out of a box and somebody moves in from a strange part of the stage, and they're just moving around, and then all of a sudden there's this huge organ explosion that just sort of knocks you down, and that's the beginning, the starting to tell the story about this man who was sent away for no reason at all, except for he had a very beautiful wife. And so by the time he gets out of his imprisonment on a ship forever and ever, he finds himself back trying to find his wife. But every character is different. They're kind of spicy. Everybody is, you know, and we don't think of London at that period and time period as being a starving country. And not only that, but everybody's poor, mm-hmm. really poor. And so they can be conned by practically anything except for the money in their pockets.
Wow. So let's listen together. We're going to now hear the introduction. This is The Ballad of Sweeney Todd.
Yay.
pretend the tale of Sweeney Todd. His skin was pale and his eye was odd. He shaved the faces of gentlemen who never thereafter were heard of again. He trod a path that few have trod, did Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street.
He kept a shop in London town, of fancy clients and good renown. And what if none of their souls were saved? They went to their maker impeccably shaved. By Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street.
That gives you that opening glimpse into Sweeney Todd. That's the Ballad of Sweeney Todd. Now, Judy, you mentioned, one of the first things you mentioned about this production was your love for Angela Lansbury. What did you learn about Angela Lansbury during this production?
Well, first of all, she is probably the most, I don't know what the right word is, but it would have to do with flowers and a sense of humor. And she was probably one of the kindest people. And my time in New York, I met a lot of leading ladies, but you know, very few of them were of the quality that Angela was. Well, for instance, in the show, she got to know every single person in the show and could tell you something about everybody. She knew about their personal lives, whether they were married, how many children they had, whether they were gay or straight. She was that kind of person, and she used that information in the most wonderful friendships. And she's like the girl next door, you know, except for she was probably a beauty queen, because she still is beautiful in her 90s, so what can we say?
Well, I think something that works so well for her with this character is that Mrs. Lovett seems very kind and lovely on the outside, but inside...
Well, she's not like Angela inside, except for she is the comedy of the inside. You get a big kick out of watching her sort of twist things around because she's, of course, very interested in Sweeney. So it's fun to watch her. And everyone who's played it since, that's true that I've seen.
Well, she has a number of wonderful pieces in the show, but her biggest number, her tour de force, is The Worst Pies in London. So let's listen to Angela Lansbury singing The Worst Pies in London.
A customer! What What you rush, what you hurry? You gave me such a fright, I thought you was a ghost. Half a minute, can't you sit? Sit you down, sit. All I meant is that I haven't seen a customer for weeks. Did you come in for a pie, sir? Do forgive me if me head's a little fake. Ugh, what is that? But you think we are the plague? From the way that people keep affording, no you don't. Heaven knows I try, sir. But there's no one comes in even to inhale. Right you are, sir, would you like a drop of ale? Mind you, I can't hardly blame them. These are probably the worst pies in London. I know why nobody cares to take them. I should know, I make them. But good now, the worst pies in London. Even that's polite, the worst pies in London. If you doubt it, take a bite. Is that just disgusting? You have to concede it. It's nothing but grasping. You drink this, you'll need it. The worst pies in London. And no wonder with the price of meat what it is when you get it. Never thought I'd live to see the day men would think it was a treat. Finding poor animals what are dying in the street. Mrs. Mooney has a pie shop, does a business, but I've noticed something weird. Lately all the neighbours' cats have disappeared. I've to hand it to her, what I calls enterprise. Popping pussies into pies wouldn't do in my shop. Just the thought of it's enough to make you sick. And I'm telling you, them pussy cats is quick. Now denying times is hard, sir. Even harder than the worst pies in London. Only lard and nothing more is than just revolting. All greasy and gritty. It looks like it's melting and tastes like, well, pity a woman alone with limited wind. And the worst pies in London. Ah, sir, times is hard, times is hard.
Oh, times is hard, times is hard.
Yes, it is.
So you have to go through, apparently, a lot to try to come up with meat for your pies. So maybe we should tell the people what eventually ends up in the pies.
Well, the people. Sweeney Todd is, by trade, a barber. And what eventually ends up are people that he has shaved very close and cut up and served in the pies. But it's wonderful. It's very funny. And the way it's done, you're not sitting there going, but you're watching this and you just think, holy mackerel.
That's why I question our sanity when this is one of our favorite shows. It's truly terrible, yes. But it's truly beautiful and truly funny at the same time.
It is. And the music will knock you off your feet. This is, I think, sort of the first time that Stephen, maybe Pacific Overtures a little bit, but this is where he really sort of creates an opera. It's magnanimous and goofy and crazy and not until the very end do I emotionally get so involved with it that just takes your breath away.
What was your role as associate producer? What jobs did you have?
Well, they let me pick whatever I wanted to do. So after having all the auditions at my house, well, all but the last four, I think, backers auditions, which I truly enjoyed doing. It was, you'd have 20 people coming into your living room, and I think I had to go buy chairs to have enough chairs for everybody to sit in. But it was great fun. It was just to meet all the people that actually our investors, the very first backers audition we did was for RCA Records. And at the time, I was just in awe of just being in the same room with Stephen, and then to have RCA there too. And I was a very, very lucky girl to be involved in. any part of it. And I enjoyed it so much. And I enjoyed meeting so many of the people that I had always thought of. Hal Prince, he still scares me to death. And I'm 80 years old now. So, and also Stephen, whom I really liked because his sense of humor is quite wonderful. And he plays the piano and sings, and he's not a great singer. I mean, I hate to say that he's not good, but it's wonderful because all of the passion and the covers come rolling out of his mouth, and he only plays in the key of D or B. I can't remember what.
Really?
What key? And because, but that's what he writes everything in. And then, of course, Jonathan Tunick takes it all and turns it into incredible harmonies. And Steve hears the harmonies, but he doesn't write them in. Jonathan is the one that does that.
Now, we've talked about, we've opened the show, we gave everybody the scary idea, and then we heard the funny part of the worst pies in London. Now let's get into the next two pieces that we've chosen are beautiful. So let's talk about Pretty Women.
Oh, it really is a song that comes from Sweeney Todd and the very vicious judge who is the man who is wanting to have Sweeney Todd's daughter, not as his very sweet niece, but as his wife or his lover. And it is two men. One is singing about his wife. The other one is singing about his daughter. And it's the human part where they both are singing, you know, pretty women, dee-dee-dee-dee. It is so... It's just so lyrically beautiful. And then, of course, it ends with a big slam. But he comes back in the show two or three times because it's so much, you know, here is this lascivious judge and here is this man who is devastated. You know, he has found out that his daughter is living and living with this horrible, lascivious judge. To all my friends who are judges, please don't take that too seriously. But it was tough, you know. I mean, it's just a gorgeous song.
And what may I do for you, sir? A stylish trimming of the hair? A soothing skin massage?
You see, sir, a man infatuate with love, her ardent and eager slave. So fetch the pomade and pomace stone and lend me a more seductive tone, a sprinkling perhaps of French cologne, but first, sir, I think, a shave.
The closest I ever gave.
You're in a merry mood today, Mr. Todd.
'Tis your delights are catching fire from one man to the next.
'Tis true, sir, love can still inspire the blood to pound the heartly pyre. What more
can man require
than love, sir?
More than love, sir.
What, sir?
Women.
Ah, yes, women.
Pretty women.
And if we wed, you'll be commended, sir.
My lord.
And who may it be said is your intended, sir?
My ward.
And pretty as a rosebud.
Pretty as her mother?
What? What was that?
Oh, nothing, sir. Nothing. Nothing. May we proceed? Pretty women. Fascinating. Sipping coffee. Dancing. Pretty women are a wonder. Pretty women sitting in the something in them cheers the air. Pretty women, silhouetted, stay within you.
Glancing.
Stay forever.
Breathing lightly.
Pretty women, pretty women. Watching how they make a man sing. Proof of heaven as you're living. Fruity women, sir. Fruity women.
Yes,
fruity women.
Fruity women, sir.
Fruity women, sir.
She says she'll marry me someday. Everything's set, we leave.
You,
Judge Turpin!
There is indeed a higher power to warn me thus in time. Joanna, elope with you? I'll lock her up in some obscure retreat where neither you nor any other vile, corrupting youth shall ever lay eyes on her again.
But, sir, I beg of you.
And as for you, barber, it is all too clear what company you keep. Service them well and hold their custom, for you'll have none of mine.
Mr. Todd.
Out.
Something I've noticed in this score is that Pretty Women is beautiful and very tense, and our next choice also has a layer of tension in it. This is the beautiful ballad, Not While I'm Around. Tell us about this one.
Well, this is from the minute everybody talked about how, you know, all these songs are going to be huge hits. It's funny, you know, to just watch this energy of all of Stephen's people and Hal's people, and they would say, oh, this is going to be, oh, this is going to be, this is going to be. And Ken Jennings, the first time I heard him sing the song, it just leveled me. And I thought, you know, this song doesn't belong here, but it belongs here more than half of the other songs, you know, and because it's just a beautiful ballad, and this young boy is sitting there with his sort of numbed brain from being tossed around, you know, saying that he'll take care of Mrs. Lovett no matter what, because he doesn't like Sweeney Todd, and he thinks Sweeney Todd will hurt her. And it really is an amazing piece. And all the time this is happening, Nellie Lovett, Angela, is sitting on the stage knitting a scarf. And, you know, I kept saying, this scarf's going to be 40 feet long. But I say, no, we start it every day. it's just a beautiful piece. You know, it's like Send in the Clowns. It is the Send in the Clowns of this show. I personally sung the song many times. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to sing it. And I've heard hundreds of people sing it. And it always gives you that feeling of, okay, there's always a good person. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's the good person. But by then, you think that Mrs. Lovett is not going to be so evil as she turns out to be. So, at least I did.
Yeah, it gives you a kind of a flicker of hope for her for a minute there.
It does. It totally does. Yeah.
So here's Toby and Mrs. Lovett, Ken Jennings and Angela Lansbury with Not While I'm Around.
You know, Mum, there's nothing I wouldn't do for you. If there was a monster, an ogre, or anything bad like that, what was after you, I'd rip it apart with my bare fists, I would.
What a sweet child it is.
Even if it was just a man.
A man, dear?
A man. What was bad. And what might be luring you, all unbeknownst, into his evil deeds like.
Here, what is this? What are you talking about?
Nothing's gonna harm you, not while I'm around. Nothing's gonna harm you, no, sir, not while I'm around. Demons are prowling everywhere nowadays. I'll send them howling, I don't care. I got away.
Of course you do. What a sweet, affectionate child it is.
No one's gonna hurt you. No one's gonna dare. Others can desert you. Not to worry. Whistle, I'll be there. Demons will charm you with a smile for a while. But in time, nothing can harm you, not while I'm around. Not to worry, not to worry, I may not be smart, but I ain't dumb. I can do it, put me to it, show me something I can overcome. Not to worry, Mum. Being close and being clever ain't like being true. I don't need to, I won't never hide a thing from you like some.
Now let's stop all this foolish chatter and just sit here nice and quiet. Nothing's gonna harm you, not while I'm around. Nothing's gonna harm you, Toby, not while I'm around.
Demons are prowling everywhere nowadays. I'll send them howling, I don't care. No one's gonna hurt you, no one's gonna dare. Others can desert you, not to worry, whistle, I'll be there. Demons will charm you with a smile for a while, but in time, nothing's gonna harm you. Not
there is one big thing that you took away from the show that somebody coming to it for the first time is going to experience. What can you give somebody walking in the first time?
I don't know. You know, I've talked to so many people, and as people would come to New York, you know, I had friends in the audience. And if I had a friend, I usually went and sat in on the second or the last act of the show. I still think the humor is the most important thing, that in this horrible world of which we all are frustrated. I mean, if somebody is not true and not good and is always thinking up some crazy thing to do, you just want 5 million other people to be there to say no. No, you can't think that way. Nobody can think that way.
Judy Rummel Hart, one of the original associate producers of Sweeney Todd. It has been such a pleasure and an honor to talk to you today.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it. I have to tell you, I'm really excited to see the kids do it. It will blow my mind. I know they're so talented. And it really is a very, very exciting, wonderful show.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.